You little curveball. You're like, we just sang one song. We want the band back. We decided to change it up today. I'm glad that we did. Really, it's worked out perfect for what we're talking about today, and to give us an opportunity. You'll get some more opportunity to get to worship through song after I get done here in just a few minutes. But decided to kind of play with the service today a little bit, partially because at my dad's church today, they're celebrating his 25 years of being the pastor there. And they're having a big, you know, shindig thing. Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? Which means we moved to Tennessee 25 years ago, which is kind of crazy. But I preached there last week for him while he was in Africa on a mission trip. And then they looked at me and they're like, hey, you going to be here next week? And I was like, I kind of have to preach. So didn't really have that planned. But anyway, I'm going to slide out when I get done teaching in just a minute. Let me just say this. What he has prepared after the message is amazing. God moved in an amazing way in the first service. I'm still kind of reeling from that, just to be honest. The message today is kind of, this is something that's kind of been on my heart. And in some ways I haven't been able to put it into, words and like identify some of it. But some of it, just out of having a time together with Joey and Nathan, this week, we got together Thursday afternoon and just talked, about the church and prayed for the church and, just discussed, you know, things that God was putting on our hearts, concerns and, blessings and, you know, victories and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, in the midst of all that, this kind of flowed out of that, to be honest with you. I really wanted to get back in Sermon on the Mount. We got one chapter left, and I would love to kill that thing and knock it out. I'm excited about getting to teach some of those things, but it just really felt like God said, do something different, which is awesome when that happens. But anyway, so we're going to talk about some of that stuff. Before we get to that, I just want to say real quick, if you haven't noticed, we're doing a little bake sale thing, trying to raise some money to help kids go to camp out at the welcome desk. I think there are baked goods and things out there that you can buy. If you get a chance, buy them. Let me say this too. You may just want to help a kid get to camp and you don't even care about getting a baked good. If that's you, awesome. We'd love for you to help send a kid to camp. Maybe you don't have kids, or maybe your kids are grown, or whatever. And it's a lot of money for kids to go to camp these days. It is not cheap. These parents can tell you. And the truth is that we've got some adults that we need to try to help get there as well. And so if you get a chance and you've got some money that you can give toward that, by all means, do that. You can do that at the welcome desk after the service is over with. They would love that. They're leaving for camp this week, so we need the money. They need the money right away. Let me also kind of say, since we're kind of talking about all that money stuff or whatever, the commitment cards in the building one stuff. You get a chance, if you haven't done one of those, do one of those. If you've been praying about that, hopefully you're praying with your family. If you've got a family to pray with about that, please know this, that commitment card is only to help us gauge, what we're looking at, what's in front of us and that kind of thing. It is not, we're not holding anybody to the commitment cards. It's not about that. It is literally just to help us gauge. And it's just a tool, as something for you to kind of look at and kind of maybe sit down and go, you know what, let's pray about what we can do. That's kind of an extra offering, other than the other offering that we normally give or whatever. And let me just say thank you to all of you that have already turned those in, and all of you that give regularly. By the way, let me make this statement too, and this is me being a little transparent here for you, and I'm not trying to like talk about money a bunch today or nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but I did this at the end of the first service, and I won't be here at the very end of this one. The summer for 24 has been hard. Financially, I'm just going to be honest. I haven't seen it hit us like it's hit us this summer. And I think it's because more people are going away on vacation and things like that. and they're not thinking about, you know, what that means when it comes to their giving and that kind of thing. It's hit us. And I share that with you just to say, if you're going to be gone a lot and that kind of thing, the online giving thing is an awesome tool to get to use. And it keeps my family. We use it because we pay all of our stuff online anyway, all of our bills and stuff. So we do online giving and it keeps us on track with our giving and stuff. I recommend looking into that, using that, and just that you'd be praying for us. We actually, and again, this is me being transparent. You don't go to this isn't a church where you don't know what's going on. We want you to know what's going on here. We actually had to borrow from savings to pay our bills here about a week ago. And I don't know that we've had to do that in over a year. It's been a good while since we've had to do that. God has been taking care of us and he continues to take care of us. And we're thankful that we had a savings to borrow from. But I'm just throwing that out there. This is your church. It completely 100% exists as far as, you know, the things that we have to have financially on the offerings that are given here. And so if it's in your church, it's not for you or whatever. But if it is, you know, just be praying about that. Be praying for the church. You know, a lot of really cool stuff coming up and going on. I think we're going to see some pretty incredible stuff happen in the very near and soon days ahead. And I'm excited about that. But I want you to know what's up because it's your church. Okay. But anyway, that's that. So, you know, look at all that, send a kid to camp, all that's good stuff. We're excited about all those things going on. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. I'm going to really encourage you to have a Bible in front of you today if you don't have one with you. And our ushers have Bibles. If you don't have one, they got a big old stack of them. Let them get you a Bible. Just hold your hand up. They're going to walk the aisle anyway. Let them get you a Bible. And we're going to the book of Psalms today. Old Testament, going to the book of Psalms. If you don't know where the Psalms is, pretty much just like cut the Bible in half and open it up and you'll find the Psalms. Book of Psalms and chapter 34. And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. Here's kind of where my heart's been. Here's kind of where I've been feeling led to talk about some things. I'm feeling led to talk about the spiritual climate of us as believers. I've been taking a lot of note, talking with a lot of people, and man, everybody's real busy. You know, it's one of those times of year, and in general, it's a time of life thing, I think, for a lot of our families at 24. And in general, I've got some concern, just to be honest. I've got some concern. And I want to talk about that today. And I hope that in doing so, I hope that you can leave encouraged because the answer to some of our problems, the answers to some of our issues are very simple and they're all attainable for everyone in the room, for all of us. I've been praying about this, been praying over this. And again, this has been heavy on my heart as I've been thinking about what we were going to talk about today and whether or not we'd do Sermon on the Mount or something different. And kind of came to this I want us to think about what is really good. What is really good? You think about that for just a minute. What is really good? And we got a lot of things in life that are good, you know, and good is a relative term. I mean, you can have good salsa and then you can have good salsa, right? We're going to talk a lot about food today. So just get ready. If you were hungry, I'm so sorry, but it's in the scriptures today. And so we're preaching the word, right? So we're talking about food someday, but yeah. So, I mean, good can be good or it can be really good, you know? You know, that term, that's a term that we're used to hearing, the term good. But I think today, I think I'm going to have to ask you with an open heart and an open mind that as we look at the word good, I pray that you would think about it in a supernatural way that is it is beyond our understanding. Like, it's so good, okay, when we get to that part, okay? Can we do that? We do that? Okay, so here we go. Let's look at Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. By the way, if you're looking for a place to start into Bible study, maybe you've kind of been in a lull with spending time with the Lord in Scripture, and we're talking about that today. the book of Psalms is a good place to start, okay? And if you're not careful, you'll go, well, it's just really repetitive. It seems like it says a lot of the same things over and over. It does do that in some ways, but it does that on purpose. And it's written, most of it is written in the form of song or poem. And when you look through that, you got to look at what it's really saying to you. Because if you're not careful, you will completely miss some huge pieces that God wants us to get. Psalm 34, verse 1. Let's read this. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, let's just go ahead and say, if we could get verse 1 down, that would be a huge improvement for most of us, right? I'll read it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's a lot of things that going in and coming out of our mouths these days that don't have anything to do with the Lord. Let's just be honest. This passage, David is he is crying out. And he is saying, look, this is a huge piece that I'm committing to you, Lord, that I will do. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, it says this. Check this out. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. What's your soul boast in? What's your soul boast in? Does it boast in a talent? Does it boast in that, like, you think that you're the man about something? What's your soul boast in? This is a huge heart issue thing. If our soul boasts in anything other than Jesus, other than God and who He is and what He's done for us, if our soul boasts in anything else, we're going to pretty much find ourselves in sin. Real quick. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. There's a calling there. I don't know if you check that out, but oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. David was like a worship leader. You know, he was rallying the troops. He was rallying believers and saying, hey, let us together glorify God. Let us together worship the Lord. Can we do that together? This is huge for us. This is huge for us because it brings about an understanding of something that we fight against. We fight against wanting to be with other people. We fight against that we want to do it alone. Newsflash, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. God made us, created us in such a way that we would not, He did not want us to do this alone. He wants us to do this with other people. And this is precisely why so many people fall in their relationship with the Lord. They find themselves straying away, and it's why? It's because there's nobody speaking into their lives. They have nobody that can be honest with them and see what's really going on with them. Because let's face it, we go behind closed doors and we do what we want to do. And we let everybody else believe what we want them to believe about us. And the truth is not always reality. And so when that happens, we lead ourselves astray by not inviting other people into our life to show us and remind us of what it means to be Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, He says. With me. Magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. That's not a lone wolf strategy at all. Verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. I don't know if you realize this or not, but a lot of the decisions that we make in life, especially the sinful ones, a lot of them come from being driven by fear. Think about it for just a minute. Think about all of the decisions that you make in your life and you know, well, I'm going to do this or we're going to do that and we're going to do it because I don't want this to happen, or we're going to make sure that we do this because I don't want that to happen. And you fill in the blanks for what you want. But the truth is that the majority of those things are being driven by fear. Do you love fear? Do you love being driven by fear? No, we don't like that. In fact, the truth is that once we really get to thinking about it, how like we better go ahead and do this, because if we don't go ahead and do this, or we better make this decision, we better lead our family in this way because. And so much of that ends up being driven by fear. And here, David is giving us this reminder. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Man, imagine what it would be like to not have any fear. Some people I know really struggle with fear. I mean, on like a level of like, men are worried all the time and all that kind of stuff. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for you to be free from that. That was one of many things that he died for you to be free from. But he died that you might be free from it. God wants to deliver us from our fears. Verse 5, it goes on. It says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Maybe you feel like that guy today. Maybe you feel like, man, that's where I'm at. Man, I feel like I got nothing. It says the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And you're like, man, where's God for me? Where's God for me? I want him to save me out of my troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Saying that angel of the Lord sets up camp, literally sets up camp around those who fear him, and he delivers them. God wants us to be free from fear and yet to have a healthy fear of him. There's a lot of things that I want to say about this passage, but verse 8 is really where I'm wanting to go. Thank God for verse 8. Verse 8 says this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember what I said about the word good? You know, like we think about good, and you know, you can have like good salsa, and then you have like good salsa, you know. We have in our minds what we have made God to be sometimes, and then we have walked away from our relationship with him. And we have made him who we've made him up to be in our heads, and we're letting that guy be God. Here's what I mean by that. For so many believers these days, they have ceased to seek the Lord and let him continually show who he is to them, because they have gotten what they feel like is enough of God in the past to piece together this picture of who they think God is, and they're going to let that be enough. But there's a problem with this. There's a problem with this. There's a problem with us only going on past experience of us putting together our picture of who God is. And the problem is this. The problem is we have ceased to have a relationship with Jesus. We're going on our knowledge, and we have stopped looking to the scriptures to help continue to define who he is and change us in who we are. You know, I see this all the time. This is the holier than thou folks that you've run into at church before at some point in time. And I know we've all run into some of those kind of folks. They got it all figured out. They've got all the answers. They don't want you telling them anything about who God is. And the truth is that we've been called to sharpen one another. We've been called to help each other grow in the Lord. We need people to continually speak in our lives. And we need to be a part of that process of us speaking into the lives of others. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We hear a passage like that and we go, oh yeah, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, God's good. God's good all the time. All the time, God's good. I'm all about it. Yeah, whatever. You know? No problems here. I totally buy into that. Yeah? Yeah? Do you? Do you really understand what it means that God is really good? Do you really? You see, do you see what it says? Because it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to say it again. I really want you to hear what it's saying. It's not just telling us. He's not just saying, hey, by the way, God's good. He's saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. And here's the problem. So many of us, we stopped tasting. We stopped tasting. We're looking at a meal that's on a table and we're going, looks good. Like it. Totally believe that that's a good meal right there. Man, that's fantastic. That's probably some of the best hot chicken in all of Nashville right there. Oh, it is amazing. You know, we're looking at it. We're like, man, that'd be good to eat, wouldn't it? But I'm not going to because I've eaten it before. And, you know, there's really no reason. I already know what it tastes like. Satan loves for us to take this approach in our walk with the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Satan, the devil himself, loves for us to take this approach with our walk with the Lord. He wants us to stare at the food and not taste it. Because what happens is when we begin to really taste who God is and what he's done, it changes us. It makes us new people. It takes the people that we thought like God changed into being like this guy, you know, over here, and then like a whole nother new day, he changes us again. It's an amazing, amazing thing that happens when we spend time with the Lord. You know, Chris, how do we spend time with the Lord? How do we do that? It's pretty simple, actually. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in Scripture. We let God speak to us through His Word. You know, Chris, I'm not a big reader. Whatever. Give me that. Listen, I'll tell you how this works for me personally, and I'm not saying this is how it should work for you. I'm just saying that for some days, when I sit down and I spend time with God and I spend time in His Word, some days I read one verse and I'm done. Because that one verse, it's all I can do to like comprehend what that really means for my life. Like I'll read that one verse and God is rocking my world so much, I may spend 3 days looking at that verse. And I'll come back to it and I'll look at it again and I'll read it 10 times and I'll pray and go, God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you trying to do in my heart right now? I've done that sometimes for a week with a verse. Some days it's 3 verses. Some days it's a chapter. Chris, I don't even know where to start. That's why we need each other. We need to bounce these things off of one another. We can't do this alone. We need each other to sharpen one another. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Now you say, Chris, why is this so important? Here's why this is so important. This is quite possibly the most important thing that we will do in this life. And here's why. Our relationship with the Lord completely changes us in every way, in everything else that we do. Every business decision that we make changes. Every friendship decision that we make changes. Every family decision that we make changes. Everything changes. If we're spending time with the Lord, and I'm telling you, completely out of pure, I've been there, done that. There are days in my life when I'm not walking with the Lord. and something happens, and then I handle it, and later on I go, you know what, I did not handle that in a godly way. And then there are days in my life when I'm walking with the Lord, and then the same kind of thing happens, and you know what, it may be the craziest thing ever, but when it happens, I look at it and go, I got to be Jesus right now. I want to be Jesus right now. Not, I've just got to be Jesus right now. It's not some legalism thing of, I've got to do this kind of thing. And I begrudge God for wanting me to act a certain way. My soul, what does he say? He says his soul boasts in the Lord. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you realize how good? I mean, we can't put it into words. We can try. We can look at the ultimate thing that we know that he did that is for our good and for his good. And that's that, well, we talk about it almost every Sunday, that while we were still rebel sinners with our backs turned to God, with him knowing the future, seeing everything in front of him without having a DeLorean time machine, God knew every sin that we would ever commit against him, and yet what? He would still send his son, Jesus, to die for us. He's that good. He's that good. Verse 9 of the passage says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Did you know that God works for your good? You may not feel that way right now because maybe life isn't exactly a box of chocolates at the moment. But I encourage you. He works for your good. He loves you. He created you. He works for your good. And ultimately so that you would be able to fulfill your calling, your purpose in life. And if you didn't know what your purpose is, we were created for God's glory. We were created that other people would see Jesus because they see us. And so he works for our good, that ultimately that we would work for his good. It all comes back to his glory and making him known. You go, well, that sounds very egotistical of God. It's not egotistical of God. He cares. He wants to make himself known because he's got the keys. And if I've got the keys and everything else is burning down and I'm like, hey, we got the keys to the safe place over here, come run and grab a key, I want to give out the keys. I want everybody to make the ride. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Barry Cooper wrote this. I want to read this to you. It says, tasting can't be done remotely, at arm's length, or by proxy. Tasting is impossible without coming close to the food in question and opening ourselves. It requires that we pick something up, that we put it in our mouths, onto our tongues, and swallow it so that it goes deep into the darkness and then changes us, that whether we like it or not, we are no longer quite the people we once were. For years, the Bible has been telling me to taste and see that the Lord is good. For years, I had been gawking at a plate of food and hoping that the act of staring would fill me up. I somehow expected to know God without tasting, without allowing his word to invade me, nourish me, and change me. You see, the key for us to know God is that we would seek him in his word, that we would taste it for ourselves. You know, Chris, I've heard this 1,000 times. If you grew up in church, you heard this in Sunday school. that we should read God's word, that we should let God speak to our heart, that it's a love letter, that it's all, you know, all these, you know, analogies of things, you know. But are we doing it? Are we spending time with God in his word? Are we looking for him? Are we allowing him to change who we are? Or are we sitting back and going, you know what? I don't really need to do that today. I know God's good today. It's all good. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Right? That's what we like to do. We love the grace. We talked about this week. We love grace. We love grace so much that we're like, man, I just go on and sin anyway because God's going to cover it with his grace. Paul talks about that. And it's not pretty. And he's saying, we can't go on. In fact, we talked a couple weeks ago about how that's taking grace in vain. That is the opposite of the life that God has given Jesus to die for us to live. And here's the part that, folks, I think that we're missing, that that my heart breaks for us, for me, and for you, for all of us, on the days when we're not seeking the Lord, we're missing pieces of who God has called us to be. We're missing pieces of who God has created us to be. And we're missing out because we're doing it our way. We've just basically said, you know what? I don't need to spend time with Jesus. I can figure this out on my own. And so whether we know it or not, the truth is that we're not living it. And that's a serious problem. And it's caused a serious problem. It's causing a serious problem all over our world in so many ways. It's causing us to make bad decisions because we're making them on our own. And it's causing us, even more importantly, to miss out on who God really is and who he wants to reveal himself to be to us. Because we've got knowledge of God from the past. And he saved us. And we got our fire insurance. This isn't just about not going to hell. This is about God has a life for us with a purpose here and now on planet Earth. And he wants to use us, and he wants to let us experience things that are unimaginable, things that are supernatural, things that are his, that are from him, that he wants to do. And some of those things happen when we allow him to use us. You know, Chris, I don't even know what that looks like. Listen, it's in the simplest of things, but it has to start with a relationship with the Lord and flow out from there. Otherwise, here's what happens and here's what we do. We become the best legalists in the world. And we're great at making lists, aren't we? We can put together some lists. Well, hey, here's all the good things I need to do this week because I want to be good, because I want God to love me. And if I do all these good things, God's going to love me even more. God's not going to love you anymore. He has already loved you as much as you could ever be loved, even by him. And he did so by sending Jesus to die in your place, that if you'd believe in him and trust in him to be your Lord and Savior, your life could be changed. Here's a big piece. I want you to think about this. God wants you to enjoy him. God wants you to enjoy him. Think about that for a minute. Think about the things in this life that we enjoy. And then we know that God is good on like this supernatural level that we can't put words together to really explain, to describe, to get us to really understand what that really means, because we're still over here going, we got good salsa and good salsa, you know. But the truth is that he's good on some crazy level that we don't even understand and know unless we spend time with him. And in the midst of that, he wants us to enjoy him. He wants us to enjoy him. And here's what happens. There's a trickle-down effect. when we spend time with the Lord, when we allow Him to speak to our hearts through His Word and through prayer and those things, when we do that, a trickle-down effect looks like this. We get clarity, right? We get clarity in the fogginess that is our lives. We start to look at stuff and go, you know what? I don't really need that. I need to do away with some of this. I don't need to spend so much time doing this over here. Maybe we as a family should do more of this. Maybe we should do less of this. It puts everything on the board in question. And we start seeing it through a different lens. Because we start realizing that this life isn't about us. Because see, we're selfish sinners. And we make it all about us. It is all about us all the time when Jesus is not in the picture. And when He is, and when we're enjoying Him, we start to make those decisions, and we're glad to make those decisions. We're glad to do it because we're excited about it, because all of a sudden we realize, man, this is a kingdom thing. This is about so much more. And this life and this stuff, this will pass away. There's something better than this. We will enjoy worshiping Him. You know, when we come together here on Sunday mornings, you know, this is obviously a worship service, and we're here to worship God, but we've made that what we want it to be in a lot of ways. We've made that to be about, I want to come and I want to get something for me. You know, that's the selfish side of us. And the truth is that we're called to worship together, like David is talking about. We're called to worship together that we would, as he says, magnify the Lord. He says, let us exalt His name together. He does not say, hey, let us get together so we feel good about each other. Right? He says, let us exalt His name together. So the purpose of worship is not for us, it's for Him. It's that we get a chance to come together and say, dude, you're the man. God, you're amazing. What you've done through Jesus is blowing my mind. We'll be doing that after I get done here, by the way, in song. But He does that even through His Word. Worshiping together is all sorts of things. It literally is glorifying God in anything that we do. That is worship. Worship is something that can happen all the time, but we are definitely called to do it together. And that's why when we sing songs, we don't sing songs about us. Nathan's very particular about the songs that we sing. I'm glad that he is. The reason being, we don't sing songs about us. It's not about us. We sing songs that are about God, or about Jesus. Saying thank you, saying you are amazing. And you know what happens in the act of worship is God uses that time for us to see those truths, and He changes our hearts. Changes our hearts. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God gave instruction to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And this is right after Moses died. And if you didn't know, Joshua was like Moses' right-hand man. He was, what Dwight Schrute always wanted to be, It's an Office reference. Many of you are not getting it, apparently, so I'm sorry. But he's his right-hand man. And being Moses' right-hand man, you got to keep in mind, Moses was God's guy. He was His guy, And so when Moses died, God says to Joshua in this passage and before it, He basically is like, Joshua, now you're my guy. You're going to lead my people. I got a plan for you, and this is how it's going to go down. And I want you to pick up with me in Joshua 1, verse 5. It says this. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's an amazing promise right there that He gave Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you in all days of your life. He's talking about in battle or whatever. Basically, I'm giving you full deal. You just do what I've called you to do, and you're going to be fine. You just trust me, okay? Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. And we love that. We love that. I want God to tell me to be strong and courageous. I want to completely trust in him. Okay, here's where that goes. This is where it went for Joshua, and it's true for us. Right there in verse 7, after only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, check this out. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is wherever you go. What he told Joshua is good for us. We have got to hold tight to the word. We've got to study it. We've got to be in it. We are becoming a culture of people who are biblically illiterate. We should know it. I mean, we should, if there's anything we're going to know anything about, that we're going to be a specialist on, that we're going to have anything to do with in this life, it needs to be the Word of God. And so therein lies, do we know how good God is? Do we want to know how good God is? Or could we just be honest? Can we do that for just a second? If we're just real honest with ourselves today, and I could just like get a show of hands, we won't do it, okay? But if I could, it'd be interesting to see. If we could just be real honest and just go, you know, honestly, Chris, right now, I just don't care. That's where my life is right now. I just don't care. And I think what I'm watching happen is a lot of people who love Jesus, who I know do care, are trading other things in this world that they care about more for him. So really, the checkbox of I don't care is really where they are. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Every Christian that has ever walked this earth has come to a point in their life where they've, you know, they're at the I don't care point. Here's my plea to you today. And it is a plea. It is a plea from my heart that I feel like God has put in my heart to share with you today. And that's this: taste and see that the Lord is good. See, tasting and seeing is not a spectator deal. I don't like to look at hot chicken. I want to eat it. And the truth is that comes from my soul that I want to eat it. And the truth is that right now, maybe where you are in life is you just be, if you're real honest, you're just kind of going, you know what? My soul isn't longing for the Lord like I know that it should be. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. God loves you. God loves you. And as much as the day that he sent Jesus packing with a cross on his back, he loves you as much today as he loved you that day. And even despite the shortcomings and the pitfalls and the sin of your life and of my life, he loves us and cares for us and wants us to taste and see how good he is. Because you see, the stuff in this life that we think is good is nowhere near as good as he is. Nowhere near as good as he is. A.W. Tozer says this. Says the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into him, that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of their hearts. God wants us to taste and see. He wants us to experience his goodness. He wants to give us the blessing of growing closer with him and being changed by him and knowing more and more every day of who he is. Sounds like work, doesn't it? Sounds like work, doesn't it? Well, I mean, hey, we're Americans, right? Come on, are we Americans? Yeah, last time I checked. Americans don't mind working, right? We work for everything else, right? Why would this scare us away? Why would this be any different? Why, when we know that the creator of the world who made us and loves us and cares for us, and he says, I have a better way. I have a better way. You don't even have to worry about it. I've got a better way. Just trust me. Seek me. Find me. Taste and see that I am good. Why wouldn't we do that? And so it becomes an issue of, is it important enough to us? Is our relationship important enough to us with Jesus that we would put in the work? The work's really not that hard, but we've made it out to be that way in our heads. And I encourage you this morning, it's just like any other relationship. And I shared this in the first service, but you know, we've got 5 little girls. And the last thing that I want to happen, and I'm divulging a fear here, okay? And I know that God wants to kill my fears, but I'm divulging an actual fear for me. The last thing that I want to happen when I leave this world is for my 5 little girls to say, he was too busy, he worked too much, we didn't really know him, he spent too much time away. That's a fear of mine, okay? I have 5 girls. It took having 4 of them to get what we call a daddy's girl, okay? And this is my Savannah, if you've ever met Savannah, and she's 2. And it doesn't matter if I've been gone for 5 minutes or 5 days. When I walk into the room, she comes running full speed and just hammers me with a hug. I mean, just wraps her arms around my legs, and inevitably I pick her up and I pull her up and I cuddle her and she snuggles on me, and it's just one of the best blessings that God has ever given me in this life. How she is going to know that I love her and I care for her and that she means the world to me, just like all of my other girls and my wife and anybody else that's important to me in this life, will be that I will make the choice to invest the time to be with her. We have to make the choice to invest the time to be with Jesus. If you're here and you don't know him, I just want you to know everything I said about him is true. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to save you. Trust in him. Let him be your Savior. If you don't understand that, there'll be some folks here at the end that'll talk to you about that, would love to pray with you about that. No pressure involved. Just listen to the Lord if he's speaking your heart. For the rest of us that are believers, we have to make some changes in our lives. We have to have conversations with our spouses, with our girlfriends, our boyfriends, our children, our friends, whoever's going to hold us accountable. If we need community, which we all do, in a micro church, maybe a life transformation group or something. If you don't know anything about that stuff, we'll talk to you about it. Just come ask us. We need people around us who push us toward Jesus. Are we going to invest the time? Let's pray together.